ભગવતે વાસુદેવાય, ઓમ નમો ભગવતે વાસુદેવાય, ઓમ નમો ભગવતે વાસુદેવાય. રીડિંગ ફ્રોમ શ્રીમદ ભાગવતમ કેન્ટો 7 ચેપ્ટર 12 ટેક્સ્ટ નંબર 9. This chapter is entitled The Perfect Society for Four Social Classes. Nanva Anvagnihi Pramada Nama Ghrita Kumbha Samahappuma Sutamapi Raho Jaiha Anyadayavad Arthakrit. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Woman is compared to fire and man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore, a man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. Similarly, he should also avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise. Purport. If a butter pot and fire are kept together, the butter within pot will certainly melt. Woman is compared to fire and man is compared to a butter pot. However advanced one may be in restraining the senses, it is almost impossible for a man to keep himself controlled in the presence of a woman, even if she is his own daughter, mother or sister. Indeed, his mind is agitated even if one is in the renounced order of life. Therefore, Vedic civilization carefully restricts mingling between men and women. If one cannot understand the basic principle of restraining association between man and women, he is to be considered an animal. That is the purport of this verse. Nanvagni pramadanama ghritakam vasamapuman sutamapi raho jaihad anyada yavad arthakrit. Women is compared to a fire and man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore, a man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. Similarly, he should also avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise. So this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking. Of course, Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But Shukadeva Goswami is narrating this whole Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, surrounded by thousands of sages. And Parikshit Maharaj is about to quit his body, maybe within 3 or 4 days. But still, Shukadeva Goswami is presenting the culture of the human civilization. And as Prabhupada explains, if one cannot understand the basic principle of restraining association between man and women, he is to be considered an animal. So it is not putting down some gender or species, but rather the culture. There are 4 things in the whole Krishna conscious life. This we were discussing with our children in the school. There is knowledge, there is discipline, there is culture, and there is a facility for purification, which in Sanskrit we can say Shastra, Astra, Vastra and Mantra. This is the tantra for swatantra. This is the process for freedom. Like one devotee was mentioning that sometimes people accept the philosophy but not the culture. Sometimes people accept the culture but not the philosophy. Without the container, you can't have the content. Krishna consciousness, philosophy, is the content. And the culture, what Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, is the container. If you don't have the right container, then the philosophy doesn't work. One may have the attraction for the philosophy, but unless the culture is there, then the philosophy doesn't make any sense. Therefore, Prabhupada created an institution. Many times we think institution means a legalized, registered institution. But institution is a facility. Institution is like a container. And the philosophy is like a content. When an institution creates that facility, a culture, then it is much easier to practice the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Just like in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse, where Prabhupada quotes that Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is compiled by Vasudev, it is meant for the people who are freed from envy. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that the mundane world is so created that you will be envious of each other. And he says, the devotees are non-envious, they are well-wishers, and they strive to create a society which is without competition. The philosophy is there, we were discussing yesterday in a Bhagavad study group. The philosophy is that one should not be envious of other. But the situation in Bombay, that if you want to take a local train, you have to push others. To that extent also, you have to make your position secure so that you can get your seat, you can get a place inside, and you have to push others. Consciously or unconsciously, people do it. You can't stop waiting. If you are driving your car, you know, people are crossing without following any rules and regulation. In the Western world, there is some civic sense. If some person who is walking, is crossing the road, even if he is crossing the road when there is no signal, the person who is driving the car, he will stop. But in India, if you stop, you will stop rest of eternity. People will not allow you to drive only. So you have to compete. So therefore, when that culture is so prevalent, where you have to, in a way, always in anxiety to make your position strong, and then applying this philosophy in such a contrast situation becomes very conflicting, very taxing. So herein, what Narad Muni is presenting, not some male chauvinist speaking against women, but rather is presenting the realistic culture of human civilization. And in the next verse, tomorrow Gaur Gopal Prabhu will speak. There is a verse about where Narad Muni is speaking, as long as one is in the bodily concept of life. So this distinction will continue to remain, man and women. And as long as that distinction remains, and that should remain, because we are in the bodily concept of life, there is no need to assume that we are not in the bodily concept of life. And therefore, when we don't realize that we are in the bodily concept of life, practice spirituality without the culture. Either we become Sahajism, follow the Sahajism, or we take to the path of, what's so big about this? Why do we give such an importance? You know, about not mixing, it's okay, it's not a problem. That feeling, oh, it's not a big deal. In fact, the whole first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's worry, one is about his compassion, about killing his own relatives, his friends, grandfather, his teacher. That is one worry. But then he also talks about the consequences, where the culture will be destroyed. There will be Varna Sankara. In the Mahabharata, Bhishmade explains to Vidushra Maharaj, there is not only Varna Sankara, there is Dharma Sankara, there is Ashram Sankara. There are different kind of Sankara. Sankara means contamination. And that was Arjuna's greatest worry, that by performing this battle, the people who are supposed to take care of the society, they will not be there, and women will not be protected. And because women will not be protected, the people who are not very cultured, uncivilized people will exploit women. And because of that exploitation, what will happen? There will be Varna Sankara. That was Arjuna's greatest worry. Just see, usually a Kshatriya only thinks about winning the battle. One who is always interested in fighting, he will only think about the battle. He cannot think about the consequences. He cannot have the vision, the future vision. But Arjuna, even before the battle, he can see very clearly what will happen. Just see what a Rajarshi was. There was no selfishness in his heart about just becoming the king. Most people, those who are making progress in material life, they don't think about the future. There is no vision because they are not sadhus. But Arjuna was thinking like that. Why? Because he was raised in a cultural family. Like in the Mahabharata, when Kotikasya, the friend of Jayadrath, when they were going through the forest, this is in the Vana Parva, by seeing the beauty of Draupadi, Jayadrath was the relative of the Pandavas or Kurus. Pandavas and Kurus are relatives only. He was so bewildered because she was alone, because the Pandavas had gone to collect something. She was alone. He forgot who she was, and therefore she asked question, "What is your identity?" Just see how he was bewildered. He had come to her marriage. Elsewhere it is explained like that. But he comes and asks, "Who are you?" He sends Kotikasya, go and ask her, "Who is she and why she is alone?" And Draupadi makes that point. She says, "I am not supposed to speak to you. You are a Parapurusha. I am Parastri. And there is no one between you and me. Therefore, from the cultural point of view, I am not supposed to speak to you. But because you are my Atithi, you are my guest." She balances out immediately, does not reject him, but at the same time says that, you know, this is how the culture is. I am not supposed to speak to you, but I am speaking because nobody else is there to talk to you. There are no men or there are no elderly women. Therefore, I am going to speak to you. She makes it very clear. So, presenting the cultural context, sometimes, you know, if you feel what other person will feel, he'll feel offended. And therefore, I will not present the culture. In the name of being sensitive, we become fools. And then the greater problem is created. It is not a sign of fanatism. It is a sign of a culture. And that's what Narad Muni is presenting to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And therefore, along with the knowledge, these four principles is the very strong principles of the Vedas. Knowledge without discipline doesn't work. Shastra is there, but the Shastra, to be actually practiced, there has to be a discipline. A discipline once was fear of punishment, fear of embarrassment, or fear of consequences. If fear of consequence, fear of punishment, and fear of embarrassment is not there, the Shastras explain a human being will act like an animal. And especially a human being, Prabhupada explains in one of his conversations that animals have a restricted life. They have a disciplined life in regards to eating, mating, sleeping and defending. You don't find a tiger eating anytime and everywhere. When the tiger is full, even if someone goes, or a lion I think, lion or tiger? Lion. Lion is full. Even if there is an animal, he will not strike on him. Extra khana mil gaya. He will not do because he is full. And the mating time is also defined when that lion will do that activity. Because their whole system is created in a very disciplined way. Just imagine if they are not disciplined, they act according to their impulsive nature, then that will create great turmoil in this whole civilization. But the human being with animalistic propensity, it is explained, a human being using his intelligence for animalistic propensity causes greatest disaster. A human plus animal propensity, that's a combination, is great disastrous. And therefore we see that the whole propaganda, whole organization of this whole human institution in the world is designed in such a way how to become more and more unregulated. And the first thing is that you deny the future consequences. Who cares? Therefore, Prabhupada explains, when somebody raises this question that I don't believe in the existence of God, that is not the sign of intelligence. That is sign of animalism. Then how can somebody ask such a question that, you know, I don't accept the existence of God. I don't accept the existence of future consequences. There is no question of hell or heaven. Therefore, one of the king, how the British church was separated from the Vatican church, because the king of Britain, he couldn't take the biblical words about chastity, you know, and he wanted to marry somebody, and therefore what he did, he rejected the laws of the Vatican church. He empowered some kind of priests who were controlled by the king, and he changed the rule according to his whims, and that's how the British church came into existence. A compromised, and the priest also compromised. Why? Because they had to deal with a rich man. Now how can we say anything no to him? When a saintly people compromises just to please a rich man, and that causes such a disastrous, then the rules keep changing. They keep changing. So therefore, not accepting the consequences in the Shastra is dangerous. Therefore, again, this is a very beautiful discussion in the Mahabharata between Draupadi and Yudhishthira Maharaj. She tells this principle. She says, people fear not because they want to fear. If you give the choice to people, only philosophy and no discipline, nobody will follow the philosophy. Nobody will follow the philosophy. There has to be a discipline. Because the nature of living entity, the conditioned living entity, will commit mistake if he is not given disciplined life. He will make mistake. If he is not accepting the future consequences, then if there is a facility to steal, he will steal. If there is a facility to cheat, he will cheat. Very few people, few living entities can restrain the temptation of sense gratification. Now forget this one. This one here, Sukadeva Prabhupada is explaining, even somebody is in the renounced order of life, and if he tries to act smart, then his senses will be agitated. Even something which is low like that, of just attracted to, you know, sense gratification like money, stealing, he will do that. Because he doesn't fear consequences. And when you have no culture of embarrassment, you don't experience embarrassment. We were discussing this. The whole battle of Mahabharata, the turning point between the relationship of the Pandavas and Kurus is not a gambling match. It was not poisoning. It was not the house of lack. It was trying to disrobe Draupadi. That was the turning point. And Krishna came into picture. Before that, Krishna did not come into picture. Only when Draupadi was disrobed, Krishna came, he protected her. And then he came to meet the Pandavas in the forest. And then more than the Pandavas, Pandavas also took a vow to destroy the Kauravas. But more than them, knowing very well, the Pandavas could change their heart, being a pure devotees of the Lord, including Bhima, who said that, you know, better we try to solve this problem with peace. But Krishna resolved, no, these people have to be wiped out. And he told Draupadi, he said, it is my vow that every member of Kuru family has to, you know, unbraid her hair. And I will bathe your hair with the blood of the Kurus. And when all the Pandavas tried to change their decision, Krishna said, no, this is my plan. I'm going to do it. So therefore, the Lord is so much conscious of the culture. Nowadays, Dushyasana is residing within women only. And we see all the boards. Draupadi, because of Dushyasana, tried to do that. What kind of disastrous death? She could tolerate the death of her children, but she couldn't tolerate her chastity, her purity. She couldn't handle it. She couldn't take it. There's no question of forgiveness. For a woman, chastity and purity is much higher than our siblings. Because unless the purity is there, Varna Sankara will spread. When a man is contaminated, he can spoil one person. When a woman is contaminated, she can spoil the whole generation. That was the fear of Arjun. Now, this is the psychological principle. When a man is bad, again, this is also explained in the Shastra. When a man is bad and woman is good, still she can procreate good offspring. Because she has the power to filter. But the man is good and woman is bad, the filter is gone. That's what in the Mahabharata again, Yudhishthira Maharaj glorifies when he is discussing with Markanda Rishi. He says, the austerities what women perform, he said, I cannot. He said, it is too much. He said, being a wife of a man and, you know, going through all that austerities, he said, I consider this austerities to be the most difficult austerities. And therefore, he said, I offer my obeisances to women class. And therefore, he said, there is no need for them to perform separate vrata, separate puja, separate this, separate that. Because simply by women and doing their responsibilities rightly, they achieve highest destination. Now again, it is not that, you know, why they should be not given chance to practice spirituality. Their life itself is a spiritual life if they follow the rules and regulation properly. So there, it's not that they have to do something independently. That was the point he was glorifying. So one is the knowledge and the discipline. As I said, the fear of the consequences, and second, the embarrassment. If one does not feel embarrassed, I remember in our time, in our school, if any boy would go around with girls, mere fact that, you know, he's going with them was considered as, how can he do it? It's very embarrassing. So because of that fear of people being criticizing, they would not do it. And Prabhupada explains it. He said, in our time also, there was attraction. Attraction is there since the creation. In the Bhagavatam, it is explained, the attraction between man and woman is not the present one. It is there since the time immemorial. Therefore, we are here in this material world. But the culture was there, Prabhupada explained. Because the culture was there, and therefore there was a separation. When the culture is not there, one does not feel any embarrassment. And that's what Prabhupada is mentioning. That, you know, when that embarrassment is not there, then people will act in a very uncivilized way. And that we see it. That how can somebody in a public place, you know, express their affection on a sensual platform? How can somebody do that? That is not Vedic culture. The affection between husband and wife is bona fide and scientific. But when there is affection of sensuality in a public place, that is animalistic. And that is not considered as civilization. So that embarrassment is not there. Consequence is not there. And fear of immediate punishment is not there, then naturally living entity will act whimsically. So knowledge has to be there, discipline has to be there. And the third principle is the culture. Vastra denotes that culture. And Prabhupada explained that point also. That when that culture is there, you know, what kind of dress one when wears, what kind of how does one exhibit himself, man or woman, both? Just see, the present civilization is simply the whole industry of, you know, garment industry is nothing but trying to agitate each other. The kind of clothes, even our own children in the school, when we take them to retreat, the kind of cloth the boys wear, the jeans having 16 pockets, looks so dirty, looks so horrible. And just see, dhoti kurta, by seeing it, you know, that's by seeing it, there is such a simplicity in the cloth, you know, sari or dhoti kurta. By seeing it, one feels peaceful. Such a complicated. And that's what the modern culture is. The kind of, like who was saying, the, you know, certain clothes have been manufactured for basically the workers in the factories, the miners. And what is the culture of the miners, those who work in the mining industry? The mining industry people require, you know, tough cloth because they're always in that, you know, mining where they don't see sun at all. And their lifestyle, our devotees last year have gone to Bihar for distributing books. Only hope for them was booked Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, their life was simply inside the mine, come out, drink wine, gamble, lose all their money. Horrible culture. Simply because they are surrounded by that kind of environment, you have to continue to live that environment the rest of your day also. Even after coming out of the mine, you still have to remain in darkness only. They cannot come out of that. Just like a Krishna conscious person will always remain in Krishna in whatever condition he lives. Similarly, they are like that because they are culturing that. So therefore, this culture is also very important. And to purify our existence after practicing the culture, after practicing the philosophy, after maintaining the discipline, the contamination is there of many, many lifetimes. Not one lifetime. And we need mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then because only these three things without the holy names of the Lord has no power to establish us on this spiritual platform. Philosophy is there. The culture is there. The discipline is there. But you need something because all these three things you practice. And the fourth one is directly Krishna practices on our life. Krishna is acting in our life. And when Krishna acts in our life, then the complete purification will be experienced by the living entity. But these three things help Krishna. You know, just like Arjuna was not willing to fight. And Krishna said, you just become an instrument. I do everything, but you become an instrument. So Krishna is there, Arjuna is there. Arjuna represents these three things. First three things. And Krishna represents the holy name. And when this combination is there, our endeavor and Krishna's mercy, then victory is guaranteed. Within one day you can kill two Akshayini Sainya. When Arjuna was fighting, when he took that vow of killing Jayadrath, within few hours he destroyed so many Akshayini Sainya. Where he got the power from? Because he got the power from Krishna, because he was willing to cooperate with the Supreme Personality of God. For purification to take place, there has to be our cooperation also. Therefore, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, during Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance day festival in Gita Nagari, one devotee was mentioning. He said, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the first few items, you know, is the item Guru Padashray and Shiksha and Diksha. Krishna is taking that responsibility. I give you shelter. I give you knowledge. I give you initiation. But you should also do something. What is that? Vishrambena Guru Seva. I've done this much. Now you also render some service. So therefore, when we understand this principle very systematically, what Narad Muni is presenting, just imagine at the time of death, Parikshit is about to die, but still is presenting the culture. Without, again, another point we were discussing. One can take two routes, two paths in such kind of verses in the Bhagavatam. You completely neglect without discussing anything so that you don't hurt. Or seeing such verse, then you simply blast the, you know, the other class. But the balancing factor is that Sukadeva Goswami, when you are speaking this word, there were no women. So he was not offending them. It's a private discussion. So similarly, when Prabhupada had some private discussion with his disciples, when they become public, then they become sometimes offensive to some class of people. One may say, oh, Prabhupada said this. But in what context, in what situation? Because ultimately, that it is not, we were discussing yesterday, that advancement is not based upon one's social situation. One may be brahmachari, one may be grahastha, one may be sannyasi, one may be vanaprastha, one may be man, woman, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. Socially, they will remain, brahmana will remain higher. From the ashram level, the sannyasi will remain higher. And even an advanced devotee from other ashram will continue to respect a sannyasi. Durvasa Muni is not a pure devotee. But even Radharani would offer obeisances to him. She never said, what, Durvasa Muni is a jnani, why should I offer respect? The culture is like that. That a sannyasi, Prabhupada writes, even if he's a Mayavad sannyasi, and you are a pure devotee, grahastha, still you have to acknowledge his renunciation and offer respect to him. We have no right to offend him. So social level cannot be disturbed based upon our spiritual advancement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this. One may be Krishna conscious devotee, practicing the higher levels of realization. But still, if you see socially, somebody is higher than you. A minister comes. We know why and how he has become a minister, but still he's a minister and he requires, he needs to be given respect even if you're a pure devotee of the Lord. And that we see in the social level also, when people who are in the renounced order, people who are in the higher position, if they're not respected, just because I'm a devotee, we destroy the culture again. That culture is destroyed. So the concept of friendliness without sobriety is not friendliness. It's a wrong behavior. Therefore, again in the Mahabharata, when Pandavas were coming to the place of Virat, I think it was his father, Dharmaraj, or Daumya. I think Daumya Rishi told the Pandavas how to behave with the king. Very interesting. He said, when you are behaving with the king, he said, do not move your body. Unnecessarily do not shake your body. Don't laugh loudly. Do not move your eyes here and there. He said there should be sober behavior. But at the same time, do not become like a stick which doesn't move at all. Means he's talking about every part of the body, how to restrain and how to express in front of the king so that you do not misbehave. Again, in the Ramayana also, when Lord Ram met Hanumanji. What did Lord Ram like in Hanumanji? Hanumanji's, you know, physiognomy, his bodily behavior. He said, just see, when he speaks, he doesn't make an ugly face when he's speaking. When he's speaking, the diction is very clear. He's telling this to Lakshman. And therefore, I think I need to have him as my servant. And that is Vedic culture. The philosophy is there. Philosophy without culture is no value. And therefore I was reading yesterday, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, preaching without proper conduct is a mundane activity. He said it is a karmakand. He said when you preach without proper conduct, sometimes we give such an emphasis on preaching, we have to give emphasis on preaching. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that without proper conduct, then it becomes simply a karmakanda. It becomes simply karmakanda. And proper behavior means culture. Now, how do we behave in front of every ashram? That how do I behave in front of a sannyasi? How do I behave in front of women? How do I behave in front of a brahmana? How do I behave in front of a politician? When these things are practiced and we deepen our philosophical understanding and then we continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then it's much easier to overcome, as the next verse explains, as long as a living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as he is not independent of the misconception. That means he has the power to be freed from misconception and become self-realized. misconception of identifying with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses. He cannot be relieved of the conception of the duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman. Thus, there is every chance that he will fall down because his intelligence is bewildered. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Madhu.
Just to clarify that where you're speaking about Yudhishthira Maharaj appreciating the austerity of a woman, you also said that I think the ladies don't need to do separate endeavor to advance or whatever in spiritual life, you know. So I don't know. So I was just thinking that, some people are fortunate to have a very Krishna conscious husband. And maybe some people don't have very Krishna conscious husband who themselves don't believe in, even if they are devotees, but they don't believe in coming to temple and doing whatever service. So in that case, what happens to a woman? She still, by just serving him, she gets, Krishna conscious or a mercy of the Lord, or she has to make a special endeavor to get that mercy of Krishna consciousness.
Therefore, the part of Vedic culture is that every, like our Prabhupada Charan was mentioning, he said when a father would marry his daughter, along with giving her dowry, he would give shaligram shila also to the son-in-law. So that the son-in-law can take care of the deities, plus take care of his daughter. And naturally, because the life was centered around Krishna consciousness, even though the wife may not directly worship the deities, but she is assisting, like Dasanudas every day. Like we have Pujaris, Dasanudas. So their life was centered around Krishna, because the Lord is there, Shaligram Shila is there. Nowadays, the families are so independent. The joint family is not there. And most of the time, husband is not in the home only. He comes once in 15 days after his job, traveling here and there. So there is no facility for him to worship the deities also. And the Lord need to be worshipped in the home. So therefore Prabhupada created a balance. He gave that facility for such women that where they don't have the facility in their household, in that family, that you also worship the deities. You also chant Hare Krishna mantra. You also practice your spiritual life. So therefore, we have to see that somebody is already initiated, already is doing it. If he stops, or if she stops chanting, thinking that I am only serving my husband, that becomes disobeying the instruction of the spiritual master. She has taken that vow. And then if somebody is doing properly, as we read in the previous verses, Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya, that woman who accepts her husband, sees Krishna in her husband, or a servant sees Krishna in his master, a disciple sees Krishna in his spiritual master, they achieve the same perfection. If somebody is doing in other culture, where a wife may not be initiated, but she is able to practice with all that environment, there is no need to force her. Why don't you do that? Basically, the tendency is to make people do what we are also doing and feel that my way is the best way. So one has to see that flexibility, that even she is making advancement without doing what I am doing, and I am making advancement by the grace of my spiritual master and Krishna without doing what she is doing. So therefore, there are many ways to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. There is only one way. Prabhupada talks about his own sister. He said she was married to a non-devotee and he was eating fish also. But she never ate. But she took care of her husband till he lived. He said her devotional life was retained. So therefore, the principle of seeing so many broad aspects of Krishna consciousness is important. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. That is a sign of swan-like devotee. And he said, the ass-like devotee only sees, if you don't do the way I do it, then you are not a devotee. And that is not fair. There are many families, they may not be following the Gaudiya Siddhanta, or they may be following, like in Bengal, if you go in the villages, I don't think all the women get to go to all the yatras, even the men. They get to chant all their 16 rounds, they get to come for Bhagavatam class every day. But still they'll worship the Tulsi, you know, they'll help in worshipping Shaligram, most of their time spent in farming only, whole day, plucking, you know, rice paddy. But the culture is there of Krishna consciousness. So will they not make advancement? Because in Bombay city there is such a, unless we have a very strong spiritual practices, because culture is already not there. So where is the facility for advancement? If I don't come to the temple, if I don't chant, and the neighbors are not going to give me that Krishna conscious atmosphere, because they are not, you know, they don't have Shaligram, they have television. So you don't hear any mantras being chanted. You hear some musical sound coming on. So therefore, to practice our own spiritual life, again, seeing the situation, Prabhupada has given the process. Whether Western or Westernized Indians living in big cities, everybody needs to practice their own spiritual life of chanting, hearing, studying Shastra, and trying to make advancement. It's a very rare where the family retains all the culture and the women class may not be executing their sadhana bhakti, but simply assisting, they make advancement in spiritual life and go back to Godhead. That is a shastric also. So one should be able to see all the spectrums of how people can advance spiritually. If there is a facility, that's a great. Somebody else is doing sadhana, and simply by assisting them, others are benefiting. And these are the shastric injunction. Shastra says like that. Bhagavatam is saying, a wife does not need to do any spiritual practice. Nothing. She doesn't need to chant, she doesn't need to fast, she doesn't need to do anything. She just needs to serve her devotee husband, and she will go back to the spiritual world. We can't deny this shastric injunction, but because, as we discussed, nowadays it's not happening, so therefore everybody has to independently practice their spiritual life. In one sense, unfortunately. Just see, dependence factor was so great, now everybody has to practice their own spiritual life. That means so independent. Unless you practice, you don't make advancement. There it was not like that. You are living in a family. One person is doing such a strong spiritual practice. Like Prabhupada quotes the example of Singhaniya. The grandmother was so strict. She would fine her children, grandchildren, if they would not come for Mangalarti. She kept the whole culture of the house so powerful, you know, in Kanpur, I think. And they were making advancement. That system was there. But now it is not like that. Yesterday we were discussing about deity worship. Deity worship has to be done by man, not women. But man is not there in the home. So then women has to do along with her children also. Why? Because she is taking the responsibility of taking care of the family and children. The man is taking care of deities and his profession. So therefore, again, the whole modern culture is that I want to do what you are doing. No, everybody has their responsibility. A kshatriya may be very good. Again, the shastra explains, kshatriya can study shastra but cannot speak on shastra. But in a kshatriya forces, no, I also want to do what you are doing. It is just like a manager giving a Bhagavatam class. He has to bring some managerial issue in the Bhagavatam also. He has to get his things done. He has to bring it. So therefore, it is said that only a Brahmana who is not involved in management, he can actually speak Krishna Katha transparently. A Kshatriya cannot do it. He has the ability, but he is not supposed to do it. So therefore, he has to do his duty. In Varnashram, the whole thing is just doing your duty. Do not be attached to others' duty. And that is one of the famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Shriyan Swadharma Viguno Parodharma Bhayava. That just perform your duty, that will bring Shreya. Do not poke your nose in others' duty. Let them do their duty, and both will make advancement. Therefore, the point is, yes, if some women are able to do like that, they are fortunate to have such a culture. Not that they don't want to chant. They'll say, okay, my husband is doing, I'll watch television for 4 hours. She will not make any advancement. Then better she chants her round also. And does all prajalpad. No, therefore, she needs to practice her spiritual life. She had no time. Basically, there is no difference between the life of a sannyasi and a chaste woman. There is no difference. Only thing that the sannyasi gets all the respects of having disciples, having ashrams, having big samadhi, big name. But woman, because she's a woman, she doesn't get it. But austerities are the same. She doesn't have independence, sannyasi doesn't have independence. Sannyasi cannot eat here, there and everywhere. She cannot do that. She has to do austerities of taking care of children, taking care of her husband, helping. And if you actually see a chaste woman's life, there is no time for sense gratification. She cannot live a life for anybody other than her family. Where is enjoyment there? And therefore, the Western civilization condemns the life of Indian women. Oh, their life is slavery. Their life is exploitation. How can they see that? Why can't they see sacrifice and commitment? How can they see only exploitation? A sannyasi's life also equally like that. But the only difference, as I said, is officially doing it, no, voluntarily doing it, and woman is made to do it because she's a woman, a chaste woman. And then she makes tremendous advancement without the name and fame. But a renunciate, he does it, but he gets, you know, because he is doing it to preach, he has been given the responsibility of becoming a teacher, a guru, or the leader. So he has to do it in a public way. And women has to do it in a very private way. Otherwise, there is no difference. There is so much of restriction in both of their life. But the facility, ultimate, going back to Godhead, you know, is what is most important. And both of them, they go to back to Godhead. And who cares for the name eventually? Nobody cares for the name. Ultimately, you know, one who is doing as a sannyasi, he doesn't care for the name, but people give him that fame and name. But he's only interested in going back to the spiritual world, doing his duty and going back. So therefore, whole Varnashram system, whole Vedic culture is that do not try to do others' duty. Don't feel envious of what others are doing. You have your responsibilities, you have your rights. You have your risks and you have your results. Responsibility, risk, rights, and then the results. The brahmacharya has his results and rights and responsibility, and a sannyasi has it. A man has it, a woman has it. And everybody can go back to the spiritual. That is the whole principle. But in Kali Yuga, people forget their responsibilities, see others' right, and they want, I want that right. And therefore there is imbalance and strife amongst people. And therefore, you know, seeing that, Prabhupada had to create. Everybody practice. You chant. You get initiated. Because people don't live a life of dependency. But the best culture is, the best civilization is that, which may not happen, but at least it should happen within our society, where different people take different responsibilities and cooperate and progress. Without cooperation, one cannot progress. Therefore, this one organization have their concept. Sangha Shakti Kalav Yuga. You want to progress in Kali Yuga? You should be united. Now, unity means what? Unity means that I have my duty, you have your duty. Yesterday somebody was asking, why everybody should do everything? That's right. Why everybody should do everything? Somebody is designated. Like again, we were discussing this point about why Krishna has created this world with such, you know, difference. Poor are there, rich are there, intelligence are there, not intelligent are there. What kind of creation is this? Now, if you see the creation from a technical point of view, you'll find so many faults. But if you see the creation from Krishna's point of view, then you'll be marveled. This is one, what I liked was, distinction and division is so important. If everybody is rich, where will the rich give his charity to? He'll squander his money. Where is the facility for him to feel compassionate? Therefore, when we were in London, you know, helping Maharaj in his surgery, people, they just see how their civilization is. There is a sink. And any leftover food, there is a aerator. I can't forget that. So all leftover food you put there and start the switch. And all the leftover food becomes like a water and down the drain. There is no concept of giving it to somebody who is a needy person. What good such equality where there is no facility for you to extend your heart? And poor person means what? That is a facility for him to be grateful. So this distinction of wealth provided to people, some less, some more, what does it do? It simply develops good qualities. A material equality, what does it do? It does not develop any good qualities. But such distinction creates compassion in the heart of the rich and gratitude in the heart of a poor person. So why blame Krishna's creation? So there is the choice is given to everybody. A rich can extend himself and do compassionate service. And poor, rather than feeling envious of... You know, people have this concept. Rich means bad and poor means good. This is a communistic concept. That every rich man is bad and every poor man is good. According to our philosophy, you are poor because of your bad karma. Why can't you accept it? But no, they will not. And therefore, they say no. They were exploited, therefore they are poor. No, you have a chance to extend mercy. And when rich man gives mercy, you can be grateful. So why blame such creation of Krishna? Because Krishna's interest is not to give equal facilities on a material platform, rather equal facility for every class of man according to what he needs. A rich man needs compassion, a poor man needs gratitude. And then you make progress. And that is how the creation is. That choice is there, to be a demon or to be divine. A demonic rich man means what? He will take all that facility and exploit more poor people. And what is the demonic quality in a poor man? That feel envious of the rich rather than feeling grateful. Like one Sri Vaishnava was mentioning that the communistic, they don't create anything. They steal somebody else's property and give it to poor. So you don't have to feel gratitude. Zabardasti se le lo aur dusron ko baato. There's no question of gratitude. But your gratitude means you speak, you practice this philosophy and share your wealth to people who need it. And those who need it, they can be grateful. So how can we blame such creation of Krishna? There should be more such distinction. There should be more such variety. And therefore, Shudras are there, Brahmanas are there, Kshatriyas are there, Vaishyas are there, women are there, men are there. You know, you need protection and there should be somebody you can protect. So that there is a chance to make advancement dynamically. That either you exploit or you give protection. Or you rebel or you take shelter. All ashramas are like that. So when that is destroyed, when you make a classless society, then there is no quality of development. Nobody develops any quality. You don't feel any gratitude. You feel might is right. I have the power. I will take it by any means. And because they did this to me, I'm going to destroy them also. How can society flourish without this philosophy? The Vedic culture, the Vedic philosophy, what Prabhupada gave, is so deep. He tried to create, he had such a less time, therefore not only philosophy, he wanted to create a culture also. Farm community, schools, this and that, so many things. So many places we failed, but one has to see the intention. What was the intention? The intention is without culture, without discipline, without mantra, without proper institution, not only the legal institution, but the Varnashram institution, the philosophy will not stay. The philosophy is like, you know, it's like a clay, and culture is like clay pot. A simply clay cannot hold. There has to be strong clay pot. Then you can put everything in that. Otherwise, it just washes away all our philosophy. Duryodhan new philosophy, Dhritarashtra new philosophy, Karna new philosophy, Gandhari new philosophy, but everybody failed. Unfortunately. Why? Because they didn't have the culture. And Yudhishthir new philosophy, you read Mahabharata, very interesting. They knew all. Duryodhan, Karna, Dhritarashtra, you know, Gandhari, they knew philosophy, but they didn't have the culture of appreciating and being free from envy. And therefore they got destroyed. Hare Krishna, stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.